Those are my three favorite subjects. And you know, there's a lot of things that really that entails, doesn't it? I mean, that isn't confined to just those particular subjects. But when you talk about faith, my goodness, wasn't last night somewhat about faith? And wasn't last night somewhat about healing, talking about miracles? But tonight I want to talk to you in particular on this subject of healing. Healing just gets such a bum rap in the church, in the church world. First of all, there are many that believe that if you're sick, God had something to do with it. And we're going to talk about that tonight. There are those that believe that sometimes God will heal and sometimes he won't. It's not always God's will to heal. We're going to talk about that a bit tonight. We just want to take what the Word of God says and go by the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And if the Word says it, that settles it, right? Amen. Someone said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, that's almost true. The truth is, God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, it's settled when God says it. And the good thing is that we can get into the Word of God and hear what God says, and then we can live and walk by what God says. Amen? And it makes such a difference to know what God says about it in His Word. Pastor Philip has a man on staff. He came in on staff as youth pastor. I knew John's dad. I didn't know John Chamness before, but I did know his dad. And John called me and he told me how hungry he was after the things of God. And that he wanted to get in some place where they were after the same things he was after. And he started talking to me about revival. And he said, someone told me I should call you. And I said, well, okay. So I talked to him for a while. And I said, now I know Pastor Philip in Frankfurt is looking for a youth pastor, and I'd be glad to call him and see if he's interested in meeting with you. I did, and he was, and they met together, and John went on staff there in Frankfurt. Well, he had a few meetings that he had booked as an evangelist, and one of them was in Kansas. And so he called the pastor in Kansas and said, I've taken position as a youth pastor, and if possible, I'd like to get out of the responsibility of coming so that I can stay here. And the pastor said, I've announced it, and I'm really counting on you being here. I'd appreciate if you'd go ahead and come. And John said, okay, I've given you my word, and I'll be there. So John went, and Sunday morning went very well, had a good service. Sunday night he was up preaching, and in the process of preaching, he made this statement. He said, it is always God's will to heal. And sitting out in the congregation, of course, was the pastor. And the pastor spoke up and said, it is not. Now, if you're heckled, it's one thing. But when it's the pastor of the church heckling you, that makes it something altogether different. So John stopped in his tracks and he looked at the pastor kind of surprised. And the pastor said, last week, we buried this, or 2 weeks ago, we buried this family's two-year-old son. He said there were at least 50 of us that had prayed for him to be healed and had faith for him to be healed, and it wasn't God's will to heal him. Well, John hurried up and finished up the sermon and quit. And afterward, the pastor came up to him and he said, I know that stuff you're talking about. I know exactly that stuff you're talking about. But he said, young man, if you're in the ministry very long, you're going to find out that you're going to have situations like I was talking about, and you're going to have an answer to give to people. Well, my position on that is, why not use a biblical answer? Because that's not a biblical answer. That's an answer, yes, but it's not a biblical answer. That is not what the Word of God says. But see, we have this thing in Christianity, Keith Moore calls it no-fault religion, where it's not my fault. I did everything right. I had great faith. Now, our biggest problem is we don't really understand what faith is. And I shouldn't say we, because we're learning, aren't we? And we're getting a hold of faith and understanding faith. Most Christians believe that mental assent or mental knowledge is what faith is all about. For example, how many of you really believe with all of your heart that if God wanted to, he could put us all right in this same room, he could put us all in about 2 seconds on the moon? How many of you believe God could do that? But see, you don't have faith that he's going to do it, right? I mean, if we'd all say, okay, let's believe it, you'd say, I don't, my faith's not there. But you know he could do it. God has no impossibility. See, there's a difference between faith and between knowing God can do something. I can have money in my pocket for a loaf of bread and starve to death, knowing I've got money enough in my pocket for a loaf of bread. So mental assent is not faith. Mental assent is a place we have to start. We start knowing God is able to do it, but that's not what faith is. So we have to understand what faith is, learn to grow in faith, and learn to develop in faith. When I was in Bible college, I went to our denomination's Bible college that I was in at that time, and we had a class on divine healing. And one of the nights, in one of the sessions, about halfway through, we got into this matter that it's not always God's will to heal. And I didn't have answers, but I sure had questions. Because I just believe if the Bible says it, it's got to be true. I couldn't explain it. I didn't know the answers. I just knew the questions. And the professor was the founder of the school, and he pastored a very large church. He had been the superintendent of that district and all. He said, it is not always God's will to heal. Well, then I was usually very quiet in classes and just did my best to stay awake and make it through the classes. But I couldn't be quiet. I raised my hand and I said, Brother Lindquist, I don't understand that. He said, what don't you understand? I said, well, I started citing things in the Word of God. Didn't Jesus, wherever he went, didn't Jesus heal them all? And if Jesus healed them all, isn't he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is there something different in that? And he said, but what about Brother Miller? Now, Brother Miller was the treasurer of the school, and he was dying of cancer. And he said, there have been a number of men of God of great faith who have prayed for Brother Miller, and Brother Miller hasn't been healed. And I said, well, what about our statement of fundamental truths? Don't we say in our statement of fundamental truths that it is God's will for everybody to be saved? And then don't we say that healing is also in the atonement, the work of God through Christ on the cross? Is one part of the atonement for whosoever will, and the other part of the atonement for a selected few? And he said, but what about Sister Salto? In other words, it's not the matter of taking the Word of God and finding out how we should walk and where we need to be. It's the matter of trying to take the Word of God and twist it around to fit where we are living. That's what the effort is. And that's not what I want to do. I want it if God says I can have it. I want to live like God says I can live. I want to have what God says I can have and do what God says I can do. So we've got to get into the Word of God and find out what the Word of God says. Now, first of all, we've got to understand that it is God's will to heal all. A-L-L, it's God's will to heal all. Let's find some scriptures. Let's go, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 7. Now, I told you last night, I could stand up here and give you all kinds of philosophical arguments. And another debater who was also good in philosophical arguments could defeat me. Because that would just be giving you my opinion. But I'm going to give you the Word. And nobody can alter the Word of God, because that's what God has said. And that's the foundation, isn't it? So if we go through a lot of scriptures and we build foundation for what I'm teaching and for what we believe, then that's a solid foundation. Here it says, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 7, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. So in other words, this is telling us about Jesus prophetically, that Jesus came into the world to do the will of the Father. That's why he came. He came with the intention, the purpose of doing the Father's will all the way through his life, all the way through his ministry. So we know this. Everything Jesus did in his ministry was the Father's will, right? We go to John chapter 6 and verse 38, and Jesus says the same thing as is quoted about him there in Hebrews chapter 10. John 6 verse 38, Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, let's think about this for just a moment. Prophetically, it said that Jesus came to do the Father's will. And then Jesus himself said that he was come to do the will of the Father. If Jesus would come to multitudes and heal them all, and it's the Father who has his will to have some of us sick, but Jesus healed them all, he wasn't doing the will of the Father. If Jesus would have come and said, bring your sick, all the sick, bring the sick, and Jesus would have opened these blinded eyes and opened these deaf ears and caused this lame man to walk and cleansed this leper, and the Father would have said, I just made him sick. Don't you know I have a purpose in making him sick, and here you come along and heal him. Then he wasn't doing the Father's will, right? Jesus said, whatever I do is what I see the Father do. I'm doing the Father's will. And wherever Jesus went, he healed them all. And so as we see him healing them all, we're seeing what the Father's will is concerning the matter of healing, right? Another thing, people say that, well, God will make you sick sometimes. Well, if Jesus did what the Father does, he'd have made a few people sick. He'd have been going along in the prayer line, and he'd have said, I command leprosy out of you, and I give you leprosy. Wouldn't he? Right. If the Father makes some sick, and Jesus was actually doing the Father's will, and doing what the Father did, he'd have made some sick. Right. He raised the widow's son right up out of the casket, and he'd have killed somebody else. If that's what the Father does, right? I quoted that verse last night. The devil comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus said, I have come to give you life. And there's no killing in that, is there? He didn't come to give any killing. He came to give life and to give it in abundance. Oh, I tell you, some of the stupid things that have been said at funerals are just out of sight, out of sight. God took your baby because he needed a little flower in heaven. God can make all the flowers he needs in heaven. Amen? Amen? God took your dad because he needed a gardener up there. All kinds of stupid things. There isn't anything God needs in heaven that he can't take care of without killing somebody. God is not the one that makes you sick, and God is not the one who kills anybody. Right? The Word of God makes it clear to us that it is always God's will to heal, and we see it exemplified in the life of Jesus, where he went along and healed everybody every time. Now, in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 40, Mark chapter 1 and verse number 40, hallelujah. When you got it, say glory. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now let's talk about that just a moment before I read the next verse. We were talking a moment ago about what some people confuse as faith. And they confuse knowing that God can do it as faith. Did this leper know that Jesus could do it? Yeah. Was he healed? No, not until he understood that it was his will to do it. He understood the ability of Jesus to heal him. He said, I know that if it is your will, you can heal me. But he wasn't healed until he understood it is his will. See, it's impossible to have faith for something that you're not sure God wants to do. Amen? If Pastor Butch said, Pastor Callahan, I got you an iPod. An iPad, rather, and it's sitting back on the counter there, and pick it up when you're leaving. So I go back, and there are two of them sitting there. Now, I don't know which one is mine. I'm not sure. I pick up one, and I think, I wonder if this is it. I don't know. I pick up the other. I can't pick one up in faith if I don't know that's what he got for me. Right? And it's the same thing in the matter of healing or any other prayer that we bring before the Lord. So what do we do in Christianity? What do they do in Christianity? They said, Lord, if it be thy will, heal me. Well, that's what this man said. But it wasn't until it was determined by Jesus that it was his will that this man was able to release his faith and receive his healing. Amen. You've got to know that it is God's will for you to be healed. Right. How many of the times? Well, apparently if Jesus healed them all, it's always his will for them to be healed, right? I preached recently through Psalms 103, where he says that he forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. And in the Amplified translation, it says, and he heals every one of all of our diseases. Every one of all of our diseases. So that it doesn't matter what the sickness, doesn't matter what the infirmity, it doesn't matter what it is always his will to heal. Always his will to heal, right? Amen. All right, well, verse number 41 says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Question was settled. If it's your will, you can heal me. Jesus said, I will. It is his will. And once that was settled, the man received his healing. Now, let's go to James chapter 5 and verse number 14. James chapter 5 and verse number 14. And this chapter talks to us about healing. There are several verses in here. I'm not going to take time to teach through these, but there's one thing we're after in it, and let's go to verse number 14. James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, that word save is the Greek word sozo, and it's a word that does not mean just being born again. It does mean that, but it means more than that. If you look up that word, you'll find healing, deliverance, prosperity, and salvation. You'll find all of that in there. Deliverance when you're saved. This is the word in Mark chapter 5 when it's talking the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus said, lady, woman, your faith hath sozo you, has healed you. So when he's talking here, he's saying the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So notice this, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, let him pray, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith, notice this, and the prayer of faith shall save some of the sick or heal some of the sick. It doesn't say that, does it? Do you know that you can't find a scripture in the Word of God that doesn't include all of us, every one of us, when it talks of healing? I am the Lord that healeth some of you. No, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He heals all of some of our diseases. No, all of our diseases. On and on. Well, right in here we've got this one. Himself took our infirmities, some of our infirmities, and bore some of our sicknesses. No, it's all of us. You can't find a scripture in the Word of God about healing that indicates that healing is not always for every one of us. It's all the way through the Word of God. Then how do you come up with this other stuff? You reason it out. Come, let us reason together, but let's reason by the Word. You reason it out. Well, why wasn't... Oh, I tell you, Aunt Mabel, you never did see a woman that was stronger in faith than Aunt Mabel, and she died of that sickness. If anybody would have been healed, Aunt Mabel would have been. Well, guess what? Aunt Mabel wasn't. Because it's not how good a Christian you are. It's not the fact that you taught the children in Sunday school for the last 35 or 40 years. That's not what it's about. It's about faith and knowing that it's always God's will to heal you. That's the bottom line. Settle beyond, before you can go another step. I don't know. Some of you, I'm sure Pastor Butch has heard me tell the story, and some of you may have heard it, but I love the story because it's an example that happened to me, and it helps me to illustrate this better than any story I know. A number of years ago, several years ago, I had one of the ladies of the church come to me and say, Pastor, my sister is in the hospital and she has MS, multiple sclerosis. Would you go pray for her? And I said, okay, I will. So I went in And I came into her bedside. I said, Diana, I'm Pastor Callahan. I'm your sister's pastor. She asked me to come and pray for you. She said, oh, Pastor Callahan, I'm so glad you came. She said, you know, the doctors tell me I have MS. And she said, I'm just trying to find out why God gave me MS. And that really bothered me, but I didn't know her, so I didn't say anything. First of all, she was accusing my God, who is a good God all the time, who loves us so much. She is accusing him of giving her a disease that's going to kill her, leave three boys at home without a mother, and a husband at home without a wife in their mid-20s. And she's accusing God. But I didn't know her, so I just talked with her for a while. About the third time I came in to see her, she was all smiles. I came walking in. How are you, Diane? She said, I'm fine, Pastor. I found out why God gave me MS. I said, oh, really? Why did he give you MS? She said, I have been up and down the hallway of this floor of the hospital. I've been in every room talking to everybody about Jesus. And I believe God gave me MS so I could be a witness in this hospital. I said, Diana, if that's what God wants, he'll call you to be a hospital chaplain. I didn't want to finish this because it sounds so negative, but he wouldn't kill you to get you to witness to people in this hospital. MS is a killer. And so I said, if that's what he wanted, he'd call you to be a hospital chaplain. I said, let me tell you a story. I just read this in the paper. And I had just a few days before that. There was a mother who was going to the grocery store, and she asked the father if he'd take care of a little 2-year-old daughter. And he said, no, I won't. And she said it again, and he said, all right, just go ahead and go. So the little girl came and said, Daddy, would you get me a drink of water? He said, leave me alone, go play. And she came back a few minutes later, and she said, Daddy, please, I'm very thirsty. Would you get me a glass of water? He said, I told you to leave me alone. Now go play and leave me alone. And the third time she came, and he said, all right. So he got up, went out the kitchen, got out a cup, emptied a bottle of Tabasco sauce in the cup, gave it to the little girl, said, drink this and I'll give you some water. She drank the Tabasco sauce. He still wouldn't give her any water, and she died. I said, what do you think of that man? Well, she couldn't think of enough things to tell me she thought of that man. She said, people like that, you know, they should never be allowed to have children. The children should be taken away if they got any more that are alive. He should get the death penalty. And she went on and on. And when she was all done with it, I said, but God gave you MS. If God gave you MS, he's no better than that man. Now, the point was this. If I was going to get her healed, I had to get her to understand God didn't give it to you. And it's not God's will for you to have MS. It is God's will for you to be healed, totally healed. And so I began that day. She understood. She got it. And so I began that day to teach faith and to talk to her about faith. I would come back in and I'd talk to her a little bit more about faith. I'd give her some books. I think I gave her some tapes. But especially books, and she started reading them, and through the weeks I would come in to the hospital. She never left the hospital, and I watched her rapidly go from being able to walk to using a cane to using a walker to be in the wheelchair. And the last time that I came to see her, she was in the hospital in the bed. The room was dark. She had tubes going in, tubes going out as she laid in the bed. But she had been all this time bringing in word, the word of faith. And she was actually a Baptist, and that's where she had learned what she was taught. And in their little Baptist church, they were having a revival with a charismatic evangelist, a spirit-filled evangelist. And she heard about it, and she said, I'm going to church tonight, and I'm getting my healing. And so the doctor came in to the room, and Diane said, Doctor, I'm going to church tonight, and there's an evangelist there, and I want to be in on the service. He said, you're not leaving this hospital. And she said, I am. She said, if you don't sign me out, I'm going anyway. I'm going to church tonight. He said, Diana, I'm telling you, you can't go. You can't leave the hospital. She said, but I'm telling you, I am going. And so she left the hospital. She went to church. He said, all right, but when the service is over, you get right back here. She said, I will. So she went to the service that night, and she said, Pastor Callahan, I went in, and she said, I sat in the back. I got there real early because I moved so slow. And she said the evangelist preached, and when he gave a call for people that wanted prayer, she said, I got up and I walked up to the front. And she said, it seemed like it took me forever to get up to the front of that small church. I got up there and I sat down on the altar. And he's praying for people, praying for the sick, and he got to me and he laid hands on me and prayed for me. And I got up and I started to take a step. And when I did, she said, I started to fall, and the ushers caught me and steadied me, and I said, don't touch me. Because she believed that she would be healed when she was prayed for that night. And her faith had been growing, had been building up. And so she said, I took a step, and she said it was all I could do to keep my balance, and another step. But she said, Pastor, by the time I got to the end of the altar, I was running, totally healed. And I ran around that church completely and totally healed. She said, I went back to the hospital that night all right, pushing my wheelchair and carrying a walker, totally healed. And about 2 years later, I had a talk show television program. I had her on where she shared her testimony of being restored to her sons and to her husband because it was God's will, not for her to be sick, but for her to be healed. But before she could ever get to the place to get her healing, she had to understand God didn't give it to her. That's the most damnable doctrine that the devil has sold to the church world, that God's the one who'll make you sick. He's the one who sent his son and sent him to the whipping post so that you could be healed. And the Bible says by Jesus' stripes, some of you were healed. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. It isn't some, it's all of us. That's the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I could get excited, but I don't want to upset you. Go to 3 John. Go to 3 John, verse number 2. 3 John, little John in the back of the book. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, is that in your Bible? So isn't that what God is saying about us? That his desire above everything else is that you prosper and that you are in health. Then what's the question about what his will is? There isn't a question left in any verse of the Bible about healing as to whether or not it's God's will to heal. It is always God's will to heal. Every situation, every circumstance, every sickness, every infirmity, and every disease. Now, go to, while you're back there in the little Johns, go to 1 John chapter 5. Amen. Not the little John, the. Amen. 1 John. I guess Jesse DePlanis say he got saved in the John, didn't he? Amen. Are you there? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. This is talking about faith. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's telling us very clearly that you can't have confidence for your healing if you don't understand that it's his will. So this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth whatsoever we ask, then we know that we have the petition that we've desired of him. So see, it is absolutely necessary to know that it's God's will. What if you were to meet some guy, and this guy is a billionaire, And so you're a name dropper and you're talking to some of your friends and say, yeah, I know this guy. You know, he's got millions of dollars. And as a matter of fact, he's going to give me $1 million. Say, oh, wow, did he tell you he's going to give you $1 million? No, I just have faith in him. Well, you don't have anything to have faith in. You don't have anything. You're just kind of wishing and hoping and supposing. But if he tells you and he's a man of his word, now he's got the resources and he's given his word. Now you got something to talk about. Well, we have the word of God, and he has the resources to do what he said he would do, now we've got something to talk about. It is his will to heal, and he has the ability to heal everyone, every time, all the time. Amen? Amen. Now, I want us to go into a little bit different thought of this, because it is important, first of all, to understand sickness didn't come from God. So who did it come from? Well, it leaves us pretty clear, doesn't it? It comes from the enemy. Let's get some verses on this. Because many people believe that sickness is of God and that God has a purpose in it. And they believe everything that happens to you is God's will. It wouldn't happen to you. Well, that's some kind of a doctrine, isn't it? Well, yeah, you know, I just came in fifth place in the Olympics, but apparently it wasn't God's will for me to win. Maybe it's the other four were faster than you. You know? I mean, it doesn't have to be God's fault that you didn't get first place. Right? I mean, we can't all be the fastest man in the world. And the fact of the matter is, when we have to blame God for everything because it doesn't go the way we want it to go, it just doesn't work out that way. Everything that happens in your life doesn't happen because God did it or God planned it. Amen? And there's a lot of things that happen in our lives that wouldn't have to happen at all if we knew how to walk the Word and work the Word. Amen. Now, when it comes to sickness, there wasn't any sickness in the garden when God was in charge. Right? When did the sickness come? When the devil took charge. When Adam sinned and he turned the Godhead of the world, not Big G, not Almighty God, but the Godhead of the world, God had given Adam control of this earth. And Adam turned it over to the devil. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4, calls the devil the god of this world, little g, not big G. There's still a god. Why? Because he had given it to Adam. Adam turned it over to the enemy. And it was then that sickness came into mankind. And the Bible is clear to us that sickness is not from God, but it is from the enemy. Amen? Let's see. Where should I start here? Let's go to Luke chapter 13. We're just going to take a few passages of Scripture that will help us to see this clearly. It didn't come from God. It's always God's will to heal. And sickness comes from the enemy, from the devil. Luke chapter 13 and verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bound together and could in no wise lift herself up. Now notice this, that there was actually a demon involved in this sickness. Some kind of a sickness that affected her spine. And little by little, the woman through 18 years had bent more and more until she was bent all the way over. And the Bible says she was bowed over and had been that way for 18 years. She comes to Jesus, and when he saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. You know, this getting into this stuff is just, it's just crazy to me. This woman has been this way for 18 years, and they get all bent out of shape because it's the Sabbath, and she is healed. People are still fighting over the Sabbath, aren't they? We go to church on the wrong day. You go on Sunday. And if you obey the law of God, you go on the Sabbath day. Well, I got news for you. Tomorrow is the Sabbath day. Amen. And yesterday was the Sabbath day. And Monday is the Sabbath day. And Tuesday is the Sabbath day. We're not under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant, where we've entered into the sabbatical rest of God, and we are living in the Sabbath 7 days a week, just like we're living in the day of the Lord. Amen? Every 50th year they came to that Jubilee. We live in the Jubilee. It's today. It's this year. It's every year. And every day is the Sabbath day. They just started worshiping on the day of the resurrection of the Lord. We don't have to get into arguments about stuff like that. We live in a freedom of the joy of the Lord, and the Sabbath is every day of our lives. Amen? Amen? Well, anyway, the ruler of the synagogue got all bent out of shape because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed. Wonder how many they've had healed on the other days of the week in that particular synagogue. None. Amen? None. And so the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom God hath bound? She didn't get any sickness from God, did she? Satan had bound her. Lo, these 18 years, should she not be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? Now go with me to Acts chapter 10. And if you don't remember any other scripture that I give you tonight, remember this one. And as a matter of fact, if you don't remember this one and you think, well, I don't know if I can remember where it was, go to those white pages in the front or the back of your Bible and write down Acts 10:38 and then a dash and put about healing. Because this gives a clarity that is so important to understand about sickness. Look at it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Remember what we talked about last night? All three of them are right there, aren't they? The Holy Ghost, what do you got if you got the Holy Ghost? You got the anointing. And what do you got if you got the Holy Ghost and the anointing? You got dunamis. And we got all three of them right there. It was in Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of God. Huh? He healed. Let's look at this again. And healing all. Let's start right there. Because where Jesus went, he healed them all. And all of them that he healed, whether it was lame or blind or palsy, or whether it was a deafness or leprosy or whatever it was, all of it was an oppression of the devil. Sickness comes from the devil and not from God. Well, yeah, but Pastor, you know, I got this when I was in Bible college. And this just really blew me away. I just couldn't get a hold of this. That, for example, like with Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, you know, and it was sickness. He tells you it wasn't sickness. He tells you it was a demon that came to buffet him. A demon who came to pester him. Didn't say it was sickness. It is so amazing that 2,000 years later now, theologians, not doctors, theologians, are even diagnosing what he had. He had ophthalmia, an eye disease. How do you diagnose that 2,000 years later? Ophthalmia is an eye disease where the eyes are extremely red and bloodshot. They fill up with pus, and that pus stays in the eyes, and the eyes feel like somebody is sticking needles in the eyes. And that's what they say Paul had. Can you imagine that? Paul, the great apostle, doing all the miracles, and he goes to somebody and says, look on me. And they look up, and their faith just rises to the top. Here's a man, can't hardly see me out through that pus, and there he is with bloodshot eyes. I'm going to be healed tonight. No, he said it was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. And you know what they taught me in school? That God sent that messenger of Satan to buffet him. So God and the devil are working together? When did that happen? Well, there are certain things God can't do, and so he sends the devil to do them. So God goes down to the local rent-a-devil and works out a plan for the devil to put people into problems that he can't do himself. That is about as far out as theology can get. But they get clear out there. Amen? Sickness is an oppression of the devil. Now, here's an interesting passage of Scripture. Go over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is just kind of a strange passage. You don't even find everything in the Bible, can't you? Some things you even get embarrassed when you find them. Song of Solomon is a good example of that. You read through there and would you read that scripture out loud or that chapter out loud, please? And by the time you're done, you're glad you're done. If you're in public, you know, because there's some pretty, amen. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Some guy is having a relationship with his stepmother. Well, even the Gentiles aren't doing that. And you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. You know, that was a mystery to me. I tried to figure it out, and I think I've come up with the answer. I don't know if it's the right one. How could a church be proud? They say, well, you know, we got this brother over here. He's having an affair with his stepmother. Isn't that great? You don't find that in every church, but we got it in ours. How could they be proud of that? I could only come up with one answer, and that is that they were proud that they were tolerant of it. And, you know, like, it's the Christian thing to do. We love him anyway. Paul said, knock it off, doesn't he? Look at this. He said, you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto God for the destruction of his flesh. No. If you're going to deliver him over for the destruction of his flesh, who do you have to deliver him to? The one that destroys the flesh. The one that brings sickness. If God was the one who does it, then you don't have to deliver him to anybody. He's already in the church. But in order to turn him over where he belongs now, because he's living in rebellion against God, and it's kind of like there's a protection in that church. So he said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. In other words, kick him out of the church. Don't let him be in the church anymore. He's under the protection of the church. Get him out there where the devil can get at him. For the destruction of his flesh. What was the purpose? To destroy his flesh? No, to bring him back to repentance unto the Lord. Amen? So the destruction, the sickness of the flesh, these things are not from God. It is God's will to heal. The devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he'll destroy your health. He'll kill you prematurely. Amen? You know, as I got more and more understanding what the word literally says, I got to those scriptures. As a matter of fact, I was preaching one night. I don't remember where or when. Been a number of years ago. And I was preaching, and all of a sudden, it came into my spirit like a revelation. I'm promised long life. They never taught me that in church. They taught me in church, you never know when your number's up. Did you ever get taught that in church? It's like the two golfers. They were avid golfers. They loved golfing. And they loved it so much, every Saturday they'd be out on the course, and they made an agreement. They said, we wonder if there's golf in heaven. Don't know. They talked about it for a while. They said, I'll tell you what, whichever one of us goes first, somehow get word back to the other one whether or not there's golf in heaven. And so the one guy died. He went to heaven. And that night he came to the other guy in a dream. And he told him, he said, I've got good news, I got bad news. He said, the good news is there is golf in heaven. The bad news is you have tea time in the morning at 8. And there, you know, there are people that actually believe that God has you assigned to a time to die. The Bible says he will satisfy us with long life. Well, sometimes God has you die young. Well, if God has you die young and he promised you long life, then he's contrary to his own word. Hold it, Pastor. I got you here because I know a lot of Christians loved God with all their heart that died young. Well, I have one question for you. Did they believe they wouldn't? Did they believe in long life? He said he'd satisfy us with long life. And most Christians have this concept because it's been taught from our pulpits that you never know when your number's up. God promised us with long life will I satisfy you. That's a promise of God, right? Well, what happens if you don't believe that? The word preached profited them nothing because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hebrews 4:2. Amen. Pastor Callahan, you're way out there. I'm way out there in the Word. If it says it, I believe it. And if it says it, I exercise it. I believe for long life. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm about to get blessed, and I don't want to upset you. Go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 John 3:8. Are you getting this? Isn't this awesome? It's the Word of God. Right? I'm just about to bring the tail in on here. So hang on. Amen? 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. In other words, this is why Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And wherever you find Jesus going, you find him going and doing two major things, teaching about the kingdom of God and healing the sick. Wherever he went, that's what he did. Taught about the kingdom of God and healed the sick. Taught about the kingdom of God and healed the sick. And he did it wherever he went. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're in the kingdom of God, aren't we? When we got born again, we're in the kingdom of God, right? Now, I'm going to close out of that and I'm just going to wrap it up with this. There are two major ways to receive healing. The first one is to walk it out by faith. And the second one is by the gifts of the Spirit. Now, when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, healing is normally immediate or shortly after. I was in South Texas. Matter of fact, I was preaching in Brownsville, Texas, a couple of years ago. And I was up preaching the Word of God and just having a good old time. And there were four sections of seats, and there was a guy in about the third row over on the last section over here that was just ignoring me through the whole message. And he had come with one of our pastors, Pastor Henry, Henry Garza. And he's sitting over there ignoring me through the whole service. I mean, he's just looking off nowhere. And I got done preaching, and I called for a prayer line. And I'm praying for the sick. I come about to the middle here, and here's Pastor Henry with this guy. And the guy was blind. He wasn't ignoring me. He couldn't see me. I thought he was ignoring me, but he was blind. And he was totally blind. And so I laid hands on him and prayed for him, As I did, I don't remember what happened immediately. It seems to me that he got a little bit of vision, not much, but a little bit. But Pastor Henry is a good 450 pounds or more. I mean, he's a good size guy. And they're driving back to Harlingen that night, and it's about a half hour drive. And about halfway from Brownsville to Harlingen, his eyes popped open. And the first thing out of his mouth, he said, "Henry, you really are big." It was the first time he had seen him. But his eyes popped open. Now, the gift of healing was an operation. But when he received the healing when I prayed for him, but the total manifestation came a few minutes later. Normally, it's immediate when healing comes by the gift of healing. And it can be by the gifts of healing. And I don't have time to teach on that, but it is plural. There are different kinds of gifts and different kinds of healings. There are some things that I have stronger faith for and have stronger anointing for than other things. And then it is gifts, different gifts, and different kinds of healings. Some people will minister healing in one way. Another person ministers in another way. And then there's the working of miracles. And that's another gift of the Holy Spirit. And then there's the gift of faith. There are times that I'll pray for people and I can't explain it, but I know that they are healed. And sometimes I will tell them to do crazy things. I often anymore, when I'm preaching, especially if I'm preaching to a brand new congregation that doesn't know me, I'll get in the middle of a message and the Lord will speak to me and I'll stop. And I'll say, I want somebody who is here. You have pain all over in your body. You have pain all over in your body. Raise your hand. And several hands will go up and I'll say, you and you, come up here. And God will heal them on the spot. They'll go back, no pain in their body, totally healed. Now, why does the Holy Spirit have me do that? I don't have any question they're going to be healed. There's any question in me, the gift of faith is kicked in. Why does the Lord do that? Because they listen to the rest of the sermon different than they've been listening so far. Because people can talk about the miracles. They can talk about healing. But once they see that, then they know this thing is real. Are you following me? So the gifts of the Spirit can be in operation. Now, the other way to be healed is on your own faith. Oh, and I must say this. Someone says, well, if I come up for prayer for my healing, who's going to have the faith, you or me? Hopefully both of us. The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. So you have faith that you're going to receive it. I have faith that you're going to receive it. And our faith together brings the manifestation of the healing. Amen? Now, the other is walking it out by faith. And some of you have maybe received your healing that way. I have never received a healing in my own body through the gifts of the Spirit. Every healing I've ever received, I received by walking it out by faith. And that's always quite a lot of fun, you know, because the attack comes. And I remember I broke out on my body. I started itching and some scratching I rolled up my sleeve after a while. I thought, what is this? And I look, and I've got this area about the size of a quarter and a couple more the size of a dime. And they were extremely red, pimply. They itched. Not only that, it felt like somebody was sticking needles in my arm. And I had several spots of that. I had some spots on my side. And I thought, well, when I get to church, I'm going to ask, and I thought of one of our nurses, I'm going to ask her what this is. And then my youth pastor was a pharmacist, registered pharmacist, and I thought, I'm going to see if she has anything and put on this. And then it rose up out of my spirit, full of word, it rose up out of my spirit, what are you doing? This doesn't belong to you. This isn't mine. This is something the devil is trying to pass off on you. Well, I looked at it and I said, I don't receive you in my body. You do not belong to me. I curse you at your root. I command you in the name of Jesus, get off of my body. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed, and you don't belong to me in Jesus' name. And the next day, I looked at it, and guess what? I had twice as much. Those spots that were the size of a quarter were now the size of a half dollar and so on. And I said, praise God, it's working. Because whenever you pray the prayer of faith, the battle comes. And you have to walk through the battle, not looking at what you see, but believing what God said, that when I prayed, I believe I received it and I have it. It can't stay in my body. And within the matter of a few days, it was all gone. Then I went to the nurse and I said, I want to know if you have any idea what I had. I explained it. She said, it was all on one side of your body. I said, yeah, it was on the left side. She went through those steps, and I said, yeah. She said, Pastor, you had shingles. And when you're in middle age, and I was about middle age then, it was probably about 10 years ago, when you're living to 120, middle age changes, doesn't it? Yeah. Amen? So anyway, she said, when you're in middle age and you get the shingles, sometimes people never get over them, but you don't get over them in a couple of days. But God healed me. So that's walking it out by faith. Sometimes it may take months of walking it out and believing God, even though the symptoms are still there, the problem is still there, you just keep believing God and you walk it out. So there are two major ways of receiving your healing. Amen? Tonight, we're calling on the gifts of the Spirit, and those gifts of the Spirit in operation can bring instant healing. The moment we pray for you, the healing can happen, right? And that's what we're believing God for. I'm believing that. How about you? Amen. Well, that was. I'd like a little stronger amen. I'm believing that. How about you? Amen. We know that God is here, and that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, in power of the Holy Spirit, is here to heal the sick. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together, shall we?